I hope you understand that most people write this report. We will need to hear from the first and these surprises so that we will highlight some things. We have tried this time to use as few acronyms as possible so we can be fast at part of communication. We rely, as Sergio has found, partnership on our partners for most of the work that is carried out. And we have three subcommittees that are very important to that work: quality insurance and the performance subcommittee, safeguard and review subcommittee, and the training subcommittee. And you'll notice in the report that it's written so that most of the activities and actions are under these areas. I want to just mention some of the progress that has been made this year, very briefly. In that we talked last time we were here about the multi-agency risk management meeting and multi-agency safeguard triage meeting. Both have made progress over the year. The multi-agency risk management meeting, which is where agencies who are dealing with an individual feel that they can no longer manage that themselves, but need help from other agencies, and then convene a meeting, seem to work reasonably well when it's a statutory organisation convening a meeting, but less well when it's a voluntary organisation. Somehow they don't seem to be able to get the right people around the table in the same way. So we are proposing, as you see from our business plan, that we appoint a coordinator next 12 months to help those organisations to ensure that the meetings happen and are appropriate and effective. And they're really important because they help to deal with issues slightly earlier than they need to come to their safeguarding levels and maybe deal with them more effectively and produce the care plans that are important to those individuals. The multi-agency safeguarding triage meetings have, to some extent, been continuing. There seems to be some evidence that they have some positive effects in getting the right kind of support to individuals at the right time. There have been glitches where, for example, the police were not able to service the committee for a couple of months because of capacity issues. The health trust still struggle to send people to that regularly, although I think they will try to manage to be there virtually. But from May, June time, the police have managed to overcome the capacity issues they have had, and we are seeing it relaunched. And it really is very important. I think it's important as a first point of contact for those people who have, for agencies who want to refer safeguarding issues and concerns and see them properly addressed. So we're hoping that the adult social care reshaping, which I understand is in progress, may help to undermine the importance of the both agency safeguarding triage as a way of handling safeguarding referrals on the island. So hopefully that will happen in the next 12 months, we could have an even more robust report next time. We also have over the last year produced a thresholds document, which is about trying to guide all the agencies involved, people who need care and support and who are in situations where there's safeguarding issues and concerns. They're trying to guide those agencies about when they should be there to the safeguarding adults team in adult social care. Really important to have done that because there has been a vast number of referrals, many of which don't get converted into investigations or inquiries, and that's a waste of everyone's time and effort and detracts from how much energy you can go into responding to the actual issues. That thresholds document now has a decision guidance which has just been put out to all the agencies in Israel. We know that just that work and the training that's gone behind it has helped to increase the conversion rate, so reduce the number of redundant referrals into the adult social care already, and that's evident from the data that we've received in 2014. we're also trying to improve, maybe safeguarding person, this person-centered approach to safeguarding, so that people are involved, they're either involved themselves as individuals, or their carers or family are involved very early on in making plans for how to manage their safety and make them safer, and manage risks better. That's really important because it isn't like ensuring that whatever is produced as an outcome of that safeguarding investigation can be managed by the individual and is appropriate for that individual so that they can manage any risks in the future. We are also concerned that this in the reshaping of the amount of social care, and this is probably an issue that we need to raise with Mark and Carol. We were having a presentation in September about that, that risk management, which was identified in the CDC reports that gave an issue, is understood across the board, because I understand that yes, it's right to make safeguarding our adults everyone's responsibility. As we do that, we need to be sure that they understand how to risk manage in those circumstances. That was all I was going to say about the report at the moment. You can certainly ask me any questions about that. I just want to introduce Emma Coleman before I finish. She's your board coordinator. I think people think there's a safeguarding management team. It's Emma. And Emma has a part-time administrator who supports me. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Michael.
Thank you very much for the report. Particularly wants to hone in on the voluntary sector, because they're an extremely important part anywhere, but very much on the Isle of Wight, for preventative things happening, but also picking up the pieces often first when they happen. And when I actually speak to voluntary sector organisations that provide, various support for people who come into safeguarding, they're all relatively saying the same thing. We rang up statutory agencies and said we needed help. We got it's a Friday afternoon, and there's someone who is in a real crisis, talking about taking their own life, and we were basically told we need back on Monday and various things like that. There seems to still be a lack of pathway from the voluntary sector to the statutory agencies. I think there's a lot of work going on that, and one would be overcritical. But I get that whether it's our youth trust or whether it's from million sheds or a variety of different organisations. They said when we're holding this person at this critical moment, we often don't know who to contact, and we don't know, we have no confidence that we're going to get a response.
Recognise the issue. We have tried from being in this role for about 4 or 5 years now, and initially we tried to get voluntary organisations on board, but that's proved quite difficult because it's difficult to release time for them, and also it's difficult for them to do the networking that would be necessary in order to make sure everybody understood what the issues were and what was being discussed. We have now allocated some funding, the Health Watch and People Matter, and they've just started doing some work with the voluntary sector across the island to try and understand how we can better engage. And you're absolutely right, they often are the first point of contact, and they often do end up holding on to really quite serious concerns which shouldn't be just down to them. So you've heard that message. We're trying to ensure that they both can engage. There are some champions out there that are better linked into the safeguarding adults team and to other safeguarding experts on the island, and can actually then help with the sector's involvement in a way that tries to eliminate kind of problems that you just identified. So yes, I think there's work to be done, a lot of work to be done, but a way to go on it. But we're starting to, I think, have a more effective way of doing that. Yes?
Thank you.
John.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I've just got, it's just one question which I was quite interested in. What's a red bag scheme?
I was actually sitting to mark for this, but you can't think quite as much as I do. The red bag scheme is a way of care homes in having sending with their residents to, if they have a hospital admission, all that they need to have in order for the hospital to understand what their needs are, what kind of medication they're on, what kind of issues they're dealing with. And then that red bag scheme is a way of stopping the kind of gap that sometimes arises that people, when they discharge, don't have the appropriate information, don't have the appropriate medication, and the home doesn't get the full information that it needs.
Do you think that if people were discharged from hospital now, they're being discharged with the people that knowledge that people need to know they're being discharged, they're not being discharged like they have been in the past, into homes and that, but they're telling everybody in the middle of the night, etc., etc. And people, they go out with all the information they need, the carers or family or everything, to know what their conditions are when they arrive home, and not just dumped on somebody's doorstep because they need a bed.
Honestly, there has been progress made on that. Particularly, I think, around mental health services, where you can see quite a lot of poor discharge practice in the past. But I'll be dishonest if I said it always works. Yeah, there's a lot of work that needed to be done across the services that the Health Trust manages. And I'm sure that Maggie would have been talking about that here a lot of the time. If she were here, I think she would say there's still work to be done. And that is a constant improvement that needs to be made. It's better. The experience is better. We use Health Watch quite a lot. And I know it's been really helpful to have that kind of people's experience fed back to us as a certain health school around discharge, around other aspects of people's
experience. It just seems to me, if I might just finish this off, Chairman, that there is not a lot of communication, or hasn't been in the past, between the hospital, doctors, etc., etc., and carers. Or counseling. So if we have more communication between them, so the patient leaves, everybody is automatically informed that they're going, and everybody knows and they can deal with it. I know it doesn't happen as much as it used to. It used to be terrible because people were just being discharged in the middle of the night and nobody even knew where they were. And hence the social workers were never told they were home, so they didn't know where they were, etc. And I think if we could make sure that when somebody leaves hospital, that everybody's told, so everybody knows, then they can deal with it in their own way. Thank you. I'm not trying to be awkward on this, but I just feel that sometimes a lot of our people that are discharged from hospital, especially the elderly people, are just confused, and just taken back, to an empty house with no food in it, and etc., etc. And we really need to make sure it's still out.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, I have finished, Chairman. Thank you.
To add in response to that, in terms of adult social care, we work closely in partnership with both the Trust and the CCG in terms of some very intensive work over the last 8 to 9 months in terms of hospital discharge. And working very carefully around the communication between all professionals and services, ensuring people are discharged. to family members if that's the case, they're going back to the community, or a home if they're going across to a home for temporary accommodation, and the individuals themselves is informed of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and ensuring that things like prevention, the way back, the medication, the work at the home is all joined up. Now, we know there's obviously sometimes things fall down as they do in any service, but there is an absolute appetite to ensure that we get to a, you know, a position where that rarely happens. And if it does, my understanding the last few weeks, we've reacted very swiftly to support people, work with the homes, work with the family, to reassure them. So I think, as you said, I mean, historically, maybe it wasn't a good place, but certainly our partnership working is striving to deliver a much more joined-up approach to that. But inevitably, sometimes things do go wrong. When they go wrong, we collectively react to that and sort it out.
Sorry, just to finish this off, you said something. I visited the hub at that hospital. There's a desk there that's supposed to be manned by a social worker. I've been told when I went there was never a social worker sitting at the desk. So they weren't in the loop of what was going on. They said there's a social worker actually present in the hub.
There isn't, to my knowledge, the social worker who used to be in the hub actually sits within our front of house and has great communication with the trust and those colleagues, including ambulance services and others, in terms of care from our side, ensuring that we are joined up in that way. But what I'd also say is, as we've thought differently about things, we've also put social worker right in the front door of the hospital. So actually we've got our resource where it matters. When people come into that hospital, they can be heard, we can support them. In fact, in some cases, we've been able to support them to go home rather than come into the hospital and engage other services to support them effectively. So there is whilst people may not be sat in buildings, certain buildings, the network and communication means we can openly and effectively communicate across those services and ensure that people know what's going on.
Thank you.
Mark, thank you very much for that. But Margaret, and then go.
Just a very quick to underline what Mark is saying. Three years ago, probably, it would have been a very different picture. The transparency has improved, both in our trust and not in social care, and it's really helpful that there is, we now will get the responses, effective responses when issues arise. So, and I think your health watch is really important in this, because they can bring back the experience of local people. So when it doesn't fit with what professionals see, there is a reaction and response.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. I'd just like to add something to what Mark said. First of all, I'm new to the patch, but I've definitely seen in my first couple of months in the role some really good examples of how social care and trust staff are working together. A particular example of that Mark alluded to, which is the social care practitioner in the emergency department at St Mary's, and it was really, really positive to see the CQC actually highlight that as an example of best practice. So I would just echo what Mark said and say progress is being made, and from the NHS side, we're absolutely committed to continuing that partnership.
Thank you. Brian.
It's on D8, where you've got the pie chart and everything as well. So the case we discussed at March for August to October. I noticed one of them said great realisation. That's one of 72. The other 71, but not being sound too cold, are all people are very good inward looking. If this is extreme radicalisation, that's only looking out to hurt people other than themselves. So what is that? What does it mean? What are you doing about it?
I suspect that is art. I don't know the detail of that particular case, but I suspect it is about threat to someone of being radicalised, so it's interventions to stop that rather than this person is likely to be.
Margaret, do you think, because that is a really astute question, Brian, so I think could we have a considered response in writing
yes,
to that, please?
Do.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Brian, just when you put a response, can you say what happened afterwards?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Mark.
Just sorry, going back a step, but picking up on the points being raised about ensuring we are joined up and where things go wrong, but we deal with them. Every week on a Friday, there was a DTOP meeting that both Carol and myself share with other colleagues, with all partners that have a space in terms of ensuring the pathway for individuals out of hospital is correct. Where we find there are problems, we are on it every time. We go through in detail a case where there's been failings, and we look at ways, in a mature way, to see how we can resolve that across agency. And not only do we do that, we track that action, and then we really pick it up again within the week, or immediately if it's that urgent, to ensure where things have gone wrong as a whole system, we actually work collectively to resolve that. And that is every Friday. And that involves everybody.
Well, I think it's fair to say that Carol's work on that has been specially noted. Margaret, are we right to be concerned about the level of attendance of some partners at meetings?
I'm not sure. People at the fire service will attend, and they do attend the subcommittees. They don't attend the main meeting very often. But they do attend when it's got issues on it, and they'll put it there. So I think our meetings tend to be quite well attended. Certainly the statutory partners are there, always. And we always have providers, and usually they're pricing, usually a number of their services there.
From a scrutiny point of view, it's very difficult to pick up whether there is an issue with lack of attendance, and I notice on page D25, for instance, against probation and HANS, whatever HANS means, there's zero attendance.
I'm not sure what HANS is, actually, is the truth. I'm not sure how that got there. Probation, there are other wing, the Community Rehabilitation Company, which is probation split, right leg only into a community-based company and the stack more complex end of probation. They both link to each other, but we do get attendance from the Community Rehabilitation Company. It doesn't show very much up there, but it should do. I think they can be more to them.
Well, could we ask in future that the report is a little bit more relevant? Yeah, a bit clearer.
Yeah. We only do the attendance because you asked us. So we will do another.
Yeah, it's a matter to be scrutinised, and we do a report that we can properly scrutinise. Thank you very much for that.
That's okay.
So, what's the next item?
Happy Council.